AAT Bird's weekly report is the Eagle News, notes, and analysis you need.
Fires for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted!
30, the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown! Matt Ware! Matt Ware! Midfield! He's got it! He's got it!
He steps up, he's hit, and falls forward. And he fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it!
It's gone! And the Eagles win!
It's all Birds. All the time.
And welcome to another edition of the AAT Birds Weekly Report. I myself, Johnny Uleck, is joined as always by Chip at Chip for the Birds. We're going to talk about the thrilling overtime victory the Eagles had against the Buffalo Bills, 37-34, to move to 10-1. And we will also get into, of course, the matchup coming up with the San Francisco 49ers. And yeah, you like that. And then, you know, some other stuff that happened. We have a potential free agent visit, potentially. We'll touch on that very tiny bit, a little bit, but also the DeSean Jackson retirement announcement. He will be retiring as an Eagle and the ceremonial captain for the game on Sunday. So we'll definitely get into our favorite DeSean Jackson moments, everything along the lines of that. But Chip, how are we doing?
I mean, we're doing well. We're 10-1. This Eagles team is firing on all the cylinders. The fact that they, you know, played a very shaky first half and came back and played and beat a good Bills team the way that they did. It was an enjoyable watch. And I know this game has been circled on calendars for months now by a lot of people, a lot of teams, a lot of prognosticators. So I think this is a much bigger game than people are even aware of.
Yeah. And I think the way you have to look at it like this too, is when you look at this game, before we dive into the Buffalo Bills and what the Eagles did, with that victory. But when you take a look at this San Francisco game, it's really big on a couple of levels here. The Eagles get the win and they move to 11-1. It's going to sit them very, very pretty into getting that number one seed, because you know you're playing a team who is fighting for you. Has a pretty easy schedule coming up. I know they play Seattle and Baltimore, but you know they're 8-3. You're 10-1. If you beat them, then they're 8-4, and you're 11-1. So there's a lot of things that come up when you look at one the next two games. Actually, you look at San Fran and Dallas, but it's going to be interesting. There's a lot riding on it. You know, I think it's more of a Super Bowl aspect for San Francisco. They want to get back. A lot of people have circled it on the West Coast with all their flapping their gums and everything along the lines of that. We see it, you know, of course, Debo keep talking about Bradbury and everything like that. Listen, we keep seeing it. And like I said, we'll get into that. I want to talk to you about this game.
Well, and even before you mentioned that, I mean, I was, you know, scrolling through the medias and the internets, and you have the people going, oh, this is a sure thing that the 49ers are going to win this upcoming game. And I went, all right, well, let me at least hear why this guy is wrong. And, you know, he went on his list of reasons. But the point that he brought up that is important about this game and next week is that, say that the worst thing in the world happens and we lose the next two games, it is very possible that we can go from the one seed all the way to the five seed in the NFC playoff picture. So just keeping in mind.
That actually is not true.
Oh, good. I'm glad he was wrong.
And you're talking about what? Craig Carton or whatever
the hell. The bald dude who's a jerk face.
Yeah, he's a jerk off. Let's just say that. He's a certifiable. I could say it's 9:30. He's a certifiable jerk off. That's what he is. And you take a look at the Eagles. Say they do lose these next two games.
Right.
The thing about it is, yes, they're going to be, what, 10-3? And then say Dallas wins the next two games. They're 10-3. The Eagles are a two seed because the Eagles hold the division, because Dallas has three losses in the NFC. Eagles have a better NFC record. They'd have the same divisional record.
That's all I need to know. The guy's an idiot. Okay.
The guy's an idiot. He's there for clicks. He's a New York guy. He hates Philly. It's simple as that. getting to another New York team in the Buffalo Bills, who the Eagles just beat in overtime. Give me your thoughts on that game, because I have a couple things, a couple concerns I had, and then a couple things I was very pleased and happy to see. But I'll have you start.
I mean, number one, things that we can't control. We cannot control the weather. Once again, we are playing an absolute slop.
Which it could also rain again this weekend.
Well, I know. I heard that. Things that we can control. We can have a better offensive game plan in the first half. Now, this has been two straight weeks where the offense, and honestly, more weeks than that, but the offensive game plan in the first week, in the first half, is just not what it needs to be. And then, you know, the Eagles are a second half team, which is a phenomenal piece of information. But if you're going against a team like San Francisco, who has the capability to score early and often, it may not just be a 10-point deficit you're coming back from. Going against a team like Dallas, who has the ability to score early and often, it may not just be a 10-point lead that we are trying to battle back from. So I think we do need to be much more competitive in the first half. I think that we have got to remember that this team, everything that they do successfully offensively is based off the run game. So when you choose to not run the ball and pass the ball as much as you do in the first half, and forget that DeAndre Swift is working on earning a very large contract, and then, oh, we're going to get, you know, Jalen Hurts another carry. We're going to get Boston Scott a carry here. We're going to get Kenneth Gainwell a carry. Give the ball to DeAndre Swift. If he is not touching the ball 25 times a game, you have a problem. I think that the game itself was very dirty. And there's all kinds of stuff about, you know, the Bills and them going up into the stands with the fans.
Yeah.
And lying about that, same players, you know, jumping at Cam Jurgens and literally trying to injure him. I know Jason Kelsey's on the warpath about that. I do think that the defense played exceptionally well, even with the points that they allowed, because you've got a lot of weapons over there. You've got, you know, a gunslinger in Josh Allen. He's so good. He's fantastic. Whatever. I think that Jake Elliott is the best kicker in football. I've been on that wagon for a couple of weeks, couple of months now. And this team just, they find ways to win. And when all is said and done, you can say that, you know, like Javier was saying, we got to stop trying to get fancy in the first half. Yep. You can say that we have to, you know, make a commitment to the run game. Yep. We got to make sure that Jalen Hurts has got a little bit of time in the pocket. Yep. You can say all those things, but when all is said and done, the Eagles are 10-1 and they find ways to win tough football games, which is great. And we still have not seen this team at its best yet.
No, we haven't. And, you know, you're right. A couple of things that concern me, of course, are the injuries. And
yeah, it's a problem,
especially the depth wise. Unfortunately, saying that Cunningham, he wasn't practicing, he could possibly be out, which means Christian Ellis is going to be there, which means then behind those two guys, most likely are going to be your two guys on the practice squad, one being called up, or two being called up, basically one in the 53, one from the practice squad, which leaves your depth very thin at that position. Mm-hmm. And with a team that does a lot of movement like the San Francisco 49ers, they have a great tight end in George Kittle. They have flashy receivers, you know, CMC. There's a lot there. So that was very concerning seeing some of the injuries. But, you know, some of the players that stepped up was very refreshing to see.
Christian Ellis played out of his mind.
Yeah, he did play out. He could be a little uber aggressive. But again,
That's where I like him, because I think that in that moment where he had to go in and then make plays, the adrenaline was great. I worry about, and again, he had a great, you know, training camp. He's kind of been there the whole time, just kind of doing his thing. But when it comes to game planning with him, and him being the, you know, focal cog of the defense, that's a concern with a 49ers team that has weapons every which way and they move them around.
Yeah. Again, we'll see what they do. But, you know, watching this game against the Bills and, of course, Josh Allen, and they're moving the ball and they're doing, you know, what they're doing. You know, it's funny. Like, I know you posted the text, you and I going back and forth. I said, they need a pick right now. And then of course, James Bradbury.
Madam Cleo, for those of you that don't know, and we were having a conversation, and we'll get into the Uleka locks and how we were both right.
No, I was not right.
Great. I was right. But we'll get into the Uleka locks. But basically I'd send a text to John. I was like, oh yeah, this is what happens. And he goes, I would like this to happen. And then literally within 2 minutes, that thing happens. I went, okay. And then what about this? And he's like, I'd also like this to happen. And then like 2 minutes later, that thing happens. And I said, can you just ask to win the lottery at this point? Because right. If we're going to make predictions and be right about everything, and be the Farmer's Almanac. That'd be cool.
No, and you know, it was very refreshing to see in the second half. Now, we talked about the last couple of weeks, the way the defense comes out in the second half and the adjustments they made. Well, this time it was the offense and the adjustments that they made, because of course, Jack Driscoll's coming in, not knowing, but what, 2 hours before the game, 3 hours before the game.
Well, and I think that that's really important. And I'll let you get on your point about that in a second. But when we look at, look, Jack Driscoll gets the start. We didn't have
it well after the first couple series. Yeah.
The first couple series, for them to call the plays that they did, where they were on their own yardage. I mean, they almost forgot that Lane Johnson wasn't playing, you know, and it was three and out, and it was an ugly three and out. And Jack Driscoll looked like it was about to be a day, an absolute day. And then he got his craft together and he did have a good game. He's not Lane Johnson. No one is. But I think you have to be aware of your personnel. And that's where I think that Brian Johnson still needs a little bit of work.
Yeah. And I think, you know, watching him, I know Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles website, if you don't check out his all 22 breakdown and everything like that, you should, because it's some awesome stuff. He was talking about some concepts on the offensive side of the ball that the Eagles were using, and having Jack Stoll come across, and they ran, that was the one long run with Kenny Gainwell down to like the two or one and a half where they did the brotherly shove in the end zone. Then they used it later on in the game on the AJ Brown touchdown, because then the defenders came down on Jack Stoll, because before the AJ Brown touchdown, they used Jack Stoll in that and they threw it to him and he got down to like the 10. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, I really like to see, especially when you don't have a guy like Dallas Goedert, which I don't think he's going to play this week.
And honestly, again, I don't want him to. Yeah.
I think it's next week that he does play, but doing some different things. And I really like some of the concepts that I did see against the Bills. You know, you have Scott and Swift in the backfield, and then you have Jack Stoll across the, you know, doing some different things, moving some pieces. I like that aspect of having, because you have to be a little creative without Goddard, because you're missing such a big focal point of your offense. You have to try to manipulate things to, you know, get yourself to where you want to be. And I thought in the second half, the Eagles came out and they were able to do that. And there were some fantastic plays by Jalen. And, you know, the one after the Bradbury interception, I thought, okay, well, 3rd and 15, looks like they're going to, you know, probably get a field goal here, tie it up. But, you know, Jalen on 3rd and 15 rolls out to his left, turns his hips, his feet, throws it into the back of the end zone, and there's Zacchaeus with a touchdown, basically over two defenders. Heck of a play.
Because a couple of things. Number one, Jalen Hurts did not look very decisive in the first half, right? The fumble was an abomination. And I don't think there was enough communication. And again, Jalen Hurts will be the first person to tell you that, which is what I love about him. The accountability is so fantastic. But on that touchdown pass that you brought up specifically, you know that when Sirianni came in, he said flat out, these are the things that Jalen Hurts needs to work on. He's got to work from the ground up. He's got to get the feet and the hips and all that stuff. And I think old Jalen Hurts, even under Doug Peterson, who doesn't develop players, he kind of was like, hey, this is the best you're ever going to be, and let's see if we can win some games. Even on that play alone, you saw Jalen Hurts do everything right. He squared his hips up, he set his feet, and he fired an absolute rocket, dime into Ozzie's hands. And it was great.
Yeah, no, absolutely, you know, love seeing that. And listen, were there some drops from the opposition that should have been touched?
Yes.
Okay, that is every game, no matter what it is. And I think
that's football, and you're having Josh Allen throw the ball 50 times.
The funny thing about it, and I was listening to the radio this morning, and somebody brought up, one of the hosts and everything brought up, everyone is nitpicking every single thing the Eagles do and how they got lucky here, they did this, all this stuff. Last year, nobody said that about the Chiefs. And if you go back and look at the Chiefs, they won an overtime against the Texans. They did certain wins that they had weren't very good, weren't very, you know, appealing, yet you heard nothing from the national media.
And yet we've heard that we talked about this on our Saturday night show, where we said that here we go. We got to watch the 49ers, and they dominated, and everyone loved the 49ers. And then we got to watch the Cowboys and how they dominated a bad team, and everyone loves the Cowboys. And how the Dolphins, you know, they beat up on a Jets team, and everyone loves the Dolphins. We don't get that same level of respect, and it's because this team has not played a full game yet. I think if the Eagles play a full 60 or even a full 50, you will start to go, oh, this is what this team is capable of, and it may shut one or two people up.
But the problem is, I think a big reason on why you see that in this hate and all this pushback and everything is because that's what gets all the clicks. It gets the mentions. It gets the quotes. It gets all that stuff. It's how these places, you know, whatever you want to call them, get their likes and their replies, and everybody talking is if they do and trash Philadelphia. It's
Johnny,
just the easiest way.
What a time that we live in where people are complaining that the Eagles are getting all of the calls by the referees.
Yeah. Right.
What a time we live in.
I know. It's pretty funny. It's hilarious actually, but you know, to kind of transition into this weekend's game and you take a look at the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, last thing I want to say about the Bills game, and I know individual awards are not everything in this league. Okay.
That was an MVP performance.
It was the if and when Jalen wins the MVP award
this signature
year,
moment.
This is the signature moment. You down to the Jake Elliott kicking the ball through the mud, sleet, rain, and wind, and then panning to Jalen Hurts going. Like he knew. Even to Brandon Graham and all his mic'd up stuff going, it doesn't matter if you guys get the ball. That was fantastic. Oh, we got Jalen Hurts. Okay. Like, I think that the MVP award is supposed to be the most valuable player to a team. It's not just statistic based, right? So you look at a guy like Tua, who's in the conversation, right?
Yeah,
he's having a great season, but their team is mediocre. I'm going to be honest. Their team is mediocre, and I've been watching Hard Knocks, and I cannot actually watch Mike McDaniels talk. That man is a very odd man. He should be doing my taxes. But you look at all the other MVP candidates, right? Patrick Mahomes, he's not having a great year.
Yeah.
You look at
nobody above and beyond.
Dak Prescott, he is beating bad football teams. Even down to, and now, you know, transitioning over to the 49ers, I saw on Twitter that they're having Sam Darnold and whoever their third string quarterback is over there.
I think it's Brandon Allen, I believe.
Yes, it was an Allen. Pretending to be Jalen Hurts for the scout team. You can't pretend to be Jalen Hurts with two slow white dudes with arms. It doesn't work. Jalen Hurts is unique to this league. He is dominant. He finds ways to win. And when he wins the MVP, this is the game. This is the moment where they will go. And this is where it officially started.
Yeah. And, you know, taking a look at this San Fran team, San Fran team is a good team. They're not a bad team. We know, that. We know that they're a very formidable opponent. They are a very tough team. They have a
Remember, the only reason why I made it to the Super Bowl is because Brock Purdy's elbow exploded in 600 pieces.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. You hear it, and you're going to probably keep hearing it. But, you know, looking at this,
I just want to keep seeing it. Just keep showing the pop.
Yeah, that's you never know. Hassan Reddick is ready again. But, you know, taking a look at this game and, you know, the offense is, of course, the Eagles defense. I think the one thing about it, and I saw a post about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and how the Eagles – pressure rate on those two quarterbacks were pretty good. I think it was like 44% and 36%, but they only had, I believe, one sack.
Yeah.
Against
them. They're not getting to the quarterback. It is obvious.
Well, they're getting to the quarterback, but the problem is Mahomes and Allen are one of the best escape artists, if you want to call them that, in the pocket and getting out from pressure. Brock Purdy isn't the best at that. And if the Eagles can keep this pressure rate, they're going to be able to get a handful of sacks on an offensive line for San Francisco, which is one, not as good as it was last year.
Nope.
And two, not better, in my opinion, not better than the Chiefs.
Nope.
And maybe just as good as Buffalo's, if not maybe a tiny bit better, which really isn't saying a whole lot.
I think the fact that they are going, oh, well, Brock Purdy is in the MVP candidate. No, he's not. He is a game manager. He has got Deebo Samuel. He has got George Kittle. He has got Christian McCaffrey. He's got Brandon Ayuk. He's got Trent Williams blocking on the left-hand side for him. He is a game manager. And if you replaced him with a Sam Darnold, I think they would win just as many games. That's my point why Brock Purdy is not an MVP caliber candidate. If you replace Jalen Hurts with, what the heck is his name?
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, that guy. You don't win the same games. And that's my point. He is the most valuable player to his team.
Plus, you know, I also want to say congratulations to Brandon Graham on 189 games, the most ever in Philadelphia Eagles history. It's a hell of a story when you take a look at how it started to, you know, what it is now. But no, just, you know, just looking at this team and this game, and when I, you know, look at the numbers and you look at everything, I know San Francisco is talented defensively. They're one of the top defenses. Offensively, they can score. They can do a number of things as well. But I don't know. Just the Eagles have that will, and especially being at home. I think, though, this game, the emphasis of stopping the run, especially not letting CMC get himself going, getting a lot of carries, doing all that, I think that is crucial. But also on the other side of the ball, I think the Eagles running the ball is something that, in my opinion, that they can do. When you take a look at San Francisco, you know, Hargrave is a really good, you know, pressure defensive tackle, but not the greatest against the run. We know that. We saw it last couple of years. You know, for me, it's just, I don't know. I'm just looking at this defense. I think running the ball, they're going to need to really, whether it's using Boston Scott and Swift and, you know, using Jalen here, because you can't just sit back and throw the ball a ton of times against this defensive line. It's just, I know their secondary isn't as good as it's been in the last couple of years. They lost their safety, Hufanga, and they're not as strong as they've been. But I still think the Eagles need to give the heavy dose of running to be able to use the RPO play action along the lines of that to be able to go down the field. And I think it's a sneaky player in this matchup could be the second week back of Quez Watkins, being able to spread him, being able to let him run straight down the middle of the field to open up possibly the underneath to a Devontae or to an AJ Brown.
And I think that the 49ers defense is, I mean, I think they're really good. You know, you look at guys like Nick Bosa and Javon Hargrave, and those guys are excellent. They added, just for fun, Chase Young.
Yeah.
Where I worry about the 49ers defense is their linebackers are some of the best in the league. Yeah, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are exceptional. So if there is ever a team that is going to be able to figure out a way to keep a spy on Jalen Hurts, to stop our run game, to make us have to use our tight ends, to actually force Jalen Hurts to make passes down the field, it will be the 49ers. I think that this is a great matchup. I think this is an absolute NFC championship matchup. But at the same time, it's a winnable matchup. They have to be smart about it, though, and they cannot spot the 49ers, you know, 17, 20 points because our defense is as beat up as it is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we say it a lot too. You know, it's the extra possessions. It's that turnover battle. That is huge as well, especially when you're playing a top-tier team. You know, when you're playing the bottom teams, yeah, you can give up a turnover or two. And
I wish you wouldn't.
Oh, no. I wish you wouldn't, but I'm just saying. But this is a type of game where, you know, in my eyes, looking at San Francisco, they have to play a perfect game, especially when you're on the road, on the East Coast, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, comes into play. But the Eagles can't be giving them possessions because when you're doing that, one, put your defense back on the field, especially if you're undermanned. Hopefully Milton Williams gets back. I know he has been practicing. He's a huge addition because I don't think Fletcher Cox is going to play this week. I don't think he's going to play this week. I think Milton Williams will be back, which will be good depth to have him back because I don't think you can run Jordan Davis out there for another 60, 62, 65 plays. I just think I think he can do it, but you want to be able to keep him fresh. You want to be able to rotate your defensive tackles out there.
That's where we're successful, right?
Exactly. So I think that is what you want to happen. I like the way the secondary is in line of having Bradley Roby. I think he does a lot to this defense and helping them. And I've said it the last couple of weeks, but it's just the continuity of the group still being able to play together. No more injuries are happening in the back end there. I really like that. And hey, do they have extra motivation because of all the chirping from the San Francisco 49ers? Maybe, but they're not going to go out of their way to put bulletin board material up there. But let San Fran do that.
The Eagles are not going to put up any bulletin board material. The 49ers are already doing it. I think the bulletin board material is already there to motivate the Eagles. The fact that, you know, it is a home game and they are 3-point underdogs.
Yeah, right there.
Is absolutely absurd. I think the fact that ESPN just listed them as the number 7 team with a 10-1 record. Like, but
the
you know,
Bills are what, 3?
We talk about this gauntlet all the time. Okay. Like, run the gauntlet. They're still gauntlet to be run, but this Eagles team finds ways to win. So again, much like during the Super Bowl run, keep counting us out. It's been going really well for us. Keep counting us out.
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully the Eagles aren't counted out when it comes to a free agent. Eagles had a visit today from Shaq Leonard, the Indianapolis Colts, who cut linebacker. Shaq, formerly Darius Leonard, the former All-Pro. And he was here for a visit. He was in Dallas on Tuesday, yesterday. So he wants a couple of days to think about it. I'm guessing the next day or so he'll have an answer on where he's going to sign possibly. And for me, it's just looking at the depth aspect. I'd like to have him. Now, if you don't get him, okay. But you keep him. But if you do get him, you keep him from a division rival. Listen, he's not the player he was. And we mentioned that. My only thing I want to say here is if you're able to get him for the stretch run, you have depth. And that's what we've always talked about when it comes to when you look at the roster, and we always talk about depth. And depth meaning not just having, oh, well, they have depth. They have 5 guys here. No. When we talk about depth, it's actually players who are going to contribute. Having guys on the practice squad who are basically developmental players doesn't help you with depth because they're still so raw in the aspects of plugging them in, playing them on the defensive side of the ball. If they're coming in on the roster for a week or two to play special teams, that's a whole different story. And we know that. So I think a veteran linebacker is needed for depth. Kind of like when the Eagles and the Super Bowl run back in 2017, they signed Danelle Ellerby, who played with the Ravens and Dolphins. He was a seasoned veteran. He was at the end of the road, but he was a body and a depth piece and a player that knew the ropes, knew has been there before, a seasoned player. I think that's something kind of like what they did last year with
picking up Lindell Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. I mean,
exactly. And that's where I'm getting at with this.
I think
we move on to the final two things with the show.
No. And I think that with Shaq Leonard, and I like the idea of signing him for all the reasons that you just said. I think that, you know, losing Zach Cunningham, who has been our leading tackler,
He's done very, very well.
He's played exceptional. And Christian Ellis has come in and done a nice job, but he's young. And our depth is going to be younger. So bringing in a guy like Shaq Leonard, who has familiarity with Sirianni, who has defended Sirianni when he came out with that whole first press conference, everyone was like, oh my God, what is this guy? And Shaq Leonard was like, just wait. You guys are going to love this guy. I think that there's that familiarity. You know, you mentioned that you think that Shaq Leonard is going to make a decision in the next couple of days. I think that he actually could very easily wait until see the outcome of these two games. Because if the Eagles go up against the 49ers and play like garbage, that kind of makes the decision for him. If they come out and they're competitive without him, and he knows that they're a Super Bowl caliber team without him, he's almost guaranteeing himself a ring and a big payday next year.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing I looked at, and you know, I've talked to a couple of people about it too, is if, say, he signs with Dallas, another option possibly, I'm not sure if it's something that would come to fruition because he was here and then he did retire, would be Miles Jack. He signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers practice squad. I don't know if he has any interest, but again, that's somebody who was in here for camp for only a couple weeks. But again, I'm talking about just a veteran that could be here as a just in case, as a depth piece. But there that is. Now I want to get on to the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're retiring. Well, DeSean Jackson is retiring as a Philadelphia Eagle. I believe it's on Friday. I think that's he's signing with them as like a one day and then retiring, whatever that is. But he's going to be the honorary captain on Sunday for the game against the 49ers at the Link. And, you know, a hell of a career for DeSean. You know, DeSean, he was, you know, the game-breaking receiver. And, you know, it's tough because there's two players, and we talk about it all the time. When you look at a player like LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson, who were, one was traded and the other one was cut.
It was such an awful situation. DeSean Jackson should have been an Eagle his entire career.
Exactly. Same with LeSean.
Same with LeSean. And you look at everywhere else that DeSean Jackson went, and you know, he has some success other places, but it was never like when he was a Philadelphia Eagle. DeSean Jackson is a Philadelphia Eagle. And you know, he waited until now. He's like, all right, well, now I'm going to retire because nobody wants me. Yeah, I mean, you were kind of known as the speed guy. And, you know, when you get to be the ancient football age of 36 or whatever it is, that hurts my feelings, by the way. My wife and I talk about that all the time. They're like, oh, he's a miracle to society at 32 that he can still walk. I'm like, it upsets me.
You wake up with back pain. Don't lie.
I wake up with hip pain. I got to sleep with a pillow between my legs or else I can't walk the next day.
So, yeah,
it's a miracle. Like a miracle. 36.
but no, just looking at his career, 183 games played, 641 catches, 11,263 receiving yards, a 17.6 average, 58 receiving touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns. And then you go to the returns and he's got 4 punt returns for touchdowns. Like, the guy was unbelievable when you look at, and the thing is, he really only did returns his first 4 years in the league.
And he was elite.
2013, he had a handful of returns too, but otherwise he stopped doing returns because he was the focal point receiver for the Eagles. They weren't going to risk him being injured. They threw him out there when they maybe needed a return, stuff like that, as we know. But you just look at
he was as infuriating as anybody with all of his antics and, you know, not making decisions and, you know, fumbling the ball on the 1 yard. I mean, he was as annoying as anybody, but he was also, he is one of the most dominant players to ever play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, yeah. Exceptional at what he did.
And it's crazy. He was only a 3-time Pro Bowler.
Do you think he's a Hall of Famer? Take the homerism out. Homer-wise, I say yes. Reality scope of the league-wise, I actually do not think that he's a Hall of Famer.
He probably won't because, listen, you have to remember, he played a long time. It's just when you really look, his 2017.
It really dropped 2017, off when he left Philadelphia.
Yeah, 2017 after, you know, with Tampa. Or no, 2018 with Tampa, 41 catches for 774. Cool. After that was just, it wasn't much of anything.
Raiders, those last
4 years, he didn't do really much of anything. So that kind of took off because if you really look at, if he would say have gotten 500 yards in each of those last 4 years, he probably had over almost 13,000 receiving yards.
Yeah, and
you
no
probably
brainer.
Think, yeah, more. Listen, could he be a Hall of Famer? Possibly. But again, when you look at the receivers who aren't getting in, probably not.
Yeah.
You know, it's, listen, but he's an all-time Eagle. We know
he's
that.
He's an all-time Eagle, and I love that he's retiring as an Eagle.
Yeah. And, you know, you take a look at this organization, and, you know, before we get our best DeSean moments, before we get to the Lick of Locks and everything, when you take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles as a franchise, as an organization, as everything, and former players, you look at a LeSean McCoy went to a number of teams after. He's an Eagle. He talks about the Eagles. It's Eagles. Mm-hmm. DeSean Jackson, the same thing. Then you look at a guy like Chris Long, who,
yeah,
if you happen to see his video, watching the Eagles game and, you know, the craziness, it's kind of like how all of us felt as fans. He spent 2 years here. Towards the end of his last 2 years of his career, he spent with the Eagles. And yet he's like an Eagles all timer, an Eagles fan. And it's just, it's crazy to see. And it just shows you how much one, the fan base can really sway for players to want to play here. And yes, players do want to play here because of the fans and the fan base and the passion and everything along the lines of that. The certain media members don't think that, but I'm just saying they do. And it's just, it's awesome to see that kind of stuff and that raw emotion, you know, coming from a Chris Long who only wasn't from the city either.
No.
It's not like he grew up here and then became a fan because he already started. You grew up here, was a fan before that. No, that's not the case. It's just, I love to see that. I just wanted to bring that up.
I think that, you know, Philadelphia gets such a bad rep every which way. And again,
they do.
If you're not from here, you don't get here. That's what it comes down to. But there's certain players. I mean, look, even flipping to the baseball side of things. I mean, Aaron Nola just opted to stay in here for the rest of his career. And again, we give that dude hell. I give that dude hell.
Yeah.
You know,
I know.
And again, I'm going to continue to give him hell because now he's one of those top guys. You look at a guy like, you know, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts will play his whole career here. You look at a guy like Jason Kelsey. Jason Kelsey would play his whole career here. You mentioned guys like Chris Long and LaShawn McCoy and DeSean Jackson. These are great players. And they talk about their time here.
Mm-hmm.
If you get here, we love you here.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. You know, and of course, a lot of people's favorite DeSean memory is
the miracle. It's mine. No brainer. That's mine. Miracle of the Meadowlands. The fact that they came back from that game, the fact that they were even competitive, and then for him to walk it off, there is no higher moment for me.
So I went a little different.
Great.
Because I think one of my favorite memories was him coming back in 2019, that first game, and the two touchdowns, the two deep touchdowns, them coming back.
Oh, I loved that. But again, he wasn't the same guy.
No, he wasn't the same. That was one of my favorites, but I think my favorite memory is maybe one of the first memories.
Was the deep bomb against Washington?
No, that one is another iconic one. This one's a little out of left field. It's the 2008 NFC Championship game. That catch he made to put them in the lead. And, you know, where he caught the ball and the ball was like on his, like dangling on his hand. And then he scored and they went up 25-24 and then the defense couldn't stop and they wound up losing. But that was one of my favorites because it was almost like the first, oh my God, we really have this young rookie is this explosive and everything. Cause he in three games had 11 catches for 207 yards. You know, he really did well in that postseason and you could see what the heck was going on and what was about to happen with his career. And unfortunately got in the hands of the wrong person. One of the worst general managers of all time. Unfortunately, but yeah, but also with that, pay attention to our social media page. Tomorrow morning, there will be a giveaway. So keep your eyes posted on that. And it's going to, of course, involve DeSean Jackson. So just
as well as
keep your eyes on that. But this then brings us to a wonderful topic that I know Chip would like to get into.
Oh, yeah. It's time for the Lekalocks of the week. Who's your lock?
Go ahead.
So I made a decision last week since I've been getting my ass absolutely kicked to go double or nothing. And I said that I believed that Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts would both account for a total of 3 touchdowns each. And I was right. It was that stupid high-scoring game, which it didn't look like in the first half it was going to be. And then it was. That's all I have to say about that. I was right.
Okay. Well, what does that... I was wrong. I had Slay an interception and Covey a punt return touchdown. So, yeah, I was wrong there.
So you got to take 2 L's.
Yeah.
That's fine. I got to take 2 W's to my record.
Good for you.
So where does that put us? I feel like I closed the gap a little.
You're 4-9, and I'm 5-8.
I was only 2-9.
Yeah, you were only 2-9.
Jesus.
Which brings us to this week's You Like a Locks, Mr. Locksmiths of the Week, or whatever the hell you want to call that, for your two wonderful wins. What do you have for this week?
All right. So looking at this slate of games, I'm really hoping that the Seahawks beat the Cowboys. That way we can, you know, shut them up.
I was going to say my locks would be Seahawks were going to beat the Cowboys, but I'm not going to be stupid.
I'm not doing that either. I mean, you have some good slate of football. I'm going to go. I'm not actually that crazy. The Dolphins are going to beat up on the Commanders. The Commanders are a hot mess. I have the Dolphins winning by at least 15 points.
Miami winning by 15. All right, well, definitely.
And maybe that's not sexy, but Washington is a bad football team.
Yeah, Washington is. Yeah, they're pretty bad. But you never know. But again, I think that's, I don't want to say it's safe, but you may get yourself a W there. I'm probably going to be a safe pick, but I'll throw a little wrinkle so it's not as safe. I was going to say Chargers are going to beat the Patriots, but come on, that's pretty safe. I'm going to say that.
Could I just say, how is it that Bill Belichick still has a job at this point? Because it's not even that they're competitive at this point. They are not a competitive football team.
How does Brandon Staley still have a job, which probably won't be much longer, but I'm just and saying.
We know that Belichick is not going to be the coach next season. He can't be, but I think, even settle on a quarterback.
But I think Belichick's going to be able to at least ride the season out. That's basically, they're not going to cut him in season.
Which they should. I mean, I know a couple weeks ago, my You Like a Lock is that he's going to get fired. And that was a tough lock to make because, you know, he is Bill Belichick. I get it, but like, damn, it's really bad.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty bad when you look at it. I'm going to go though with Justin Herbert is going to have 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. So again, we'll see. Think it could happen. I didn't look at the weather in New England, but I think that they're off.
I mean, if it's going to rain by us, it might rain by him too.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with that. Herbert, 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, which now brings us to the predictions before we close it out. I'll start with the predictions on this end here. So when I take a look at this game, and I think it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be smash mouth football, punch in your face. It's going to be that. You know, both teams, there's going to be a ton of emotion, and you know that. And I just think the way the Eagles have been playing, I just think they're going to be able to find a way to come away victorious, especially when they're playing at home at the Link. The crowd's going to be crazy. It's going to be raucous. It's going to be an electric environment. So I'm going to have the Eagles taking this one 27-23. It's going to be a close game because both teams are very, very talented. And I think it's going to be 27-23. I think the Eagles will be able to get to Purdy. I don't think they're going to knock him out of the game.
No. But
I think that the Eagles' defense will be able to get a handful of sacks on Brock Purdy. He's not going to be able to escape like Allen and Mahomes were able to.
So I think it's actually going to be much higher of a game. I think that my final score is Eagles are going to win 31-30. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game because you look at the 49ers, they have a ton of weapons. And Brock Purdy is a good game manager. He's going to get the ball to those weapons. And with our injuries, it's going to be very tough to slow them down. However, I think our offense finally clicks on all cylinders. And I have us winning 31-30.
Hey, would be wonderful to see because it would move them into 11-1, which we would love to see. Again, thanks for joining us. As we always end every show, we always end it with a very happy and joyful Go Birds.
Go Birds.
This is Matt Ware. Hey, for all the Eagle content you need, go follow All About the Birds. They do a damn thing.
Check them out.
Hey, Eagles fans. I may be in Tampa, but I know where to find the best Eagles content out there. Check out my friends at All About the Birds.
Philadelphia, what's up? This your boy, Freddie Mitchell, a.k.a. Fred X. It's All About the Birds.
All birds all the time.
All birds all the time.
All About the Birds provides you with weekly analysis, game recaps, informative interviews, and it's all birds all the time.